We're recording.
Hello, world. Wayne's World.
Wayne's
World.
That's right. Where's my guitar?
Party on.
Party on, Garth. Only we're not in Aurora.
No.
We are in Durham.
We're very far away from Aurora.
Yes, we are. Yeah. But anyway, we are here with Mr. George Hoffheimer from Filene Research Institute. We're closing out the 2019 Big Bright Minds.
Yeah, we got our Christmas hats on.
And we do, yes, yeah, yes. And it's not even cold outside.
No, it's very beautiful.
It's really nice.
Like San Diego.
A little bit, yeah. Without the rain and the lightning and the floods and stuff.
That's right,
yeah.
That's right.
Very scary place to live these days. So, I'm going to ask the obvious question. How did the conference go? You guys just wrapped it up a few minutes ago.
I thought it went really well. You know, as some of the interviews that you just did, we had some guests from the United Kingdom, Scotland, England,
Ireland,
with some Canadians, lots of Americans, it was just a great program. We walked through a variety of consumer challenges from people outside of our industry, largely talking about the challenges, and then we kind of ended with how do you meet these challenges, because some of them are here, some of them are emerging, it's all about action and thinking forward about these ideas and changing people's lives.
Mm-hmm. And I heard more comments about how you guys set up the show.
Yeah.
Like yesterday morning, you had these great keynote speakers talking theory and all this type of stuff and how it coincides with credit unions and stuff. And then you had the workshops where you set up your day away field trips. Mm-hmm. And then you had the field trip. So it was like theory, prepare, and then practical.
Yeah.
People, I think that's obviously, you guys know it better than me. It's a great way to learn.
Yeah, and I think you know, most people that go to conferences, you know, initially get energized and excited because there's, you know, like it's a new environment, it's a new concept or new ideas. And then usually by halftime you're kind of like, okay, I'm tired of sitting. I don't usually do this. So we try and mimic that, and you know, it's like a lot of adult learning principles. But the fact that, you know, we pick our locations by things that are happening in that specific location on an exceptional basis, and Raleigh-Durham happens to be the seat of some amazing innovations, people, organizations. So it was a really, really easy decision to go out.
I would think so.
Talk to people.
Come back here again, because this is a really cool place. I mean, not only is it beautiful, and you're basically on the campus of Duke University, but the like you said, the surrounding areas. Oh my gosh! Like we were talking earlier this morning about Self-Help Credit Union, how they have just been kind of the tip of the spear when it comes to affordable housing projects around here. So really cool stuff you guys are showing.
Yeah, and that's one of the site visits that we did go on. We talked with two of their key real estate people, and they explained their structure. You know, includes a state chartered credit union, started here in the 80s, federally chartered credit union, which is newer. Each has a little over $1 billion in assets, serving low, moderate income consumers. But then the real innovation that they have is this ventures fund, which is a 501c3 loan fund, certified community development institution. And they just do an amazing job of real estate development, both here and in other markets as well. And it's just, it's an amazing story. You know, like the one that really struck me and the people that went on it was, we went to go visit Walltown, which is adjacent to a part of Duke's campus, and it's a historically African-American neighborhood. And back in the 80s, when it was economically not doing so great, Self-Help, this is really where it got its start, said, hey, we're gonna acquire 77 of the properties here. We're gonna buy them, we're gonna get some subsidized funding, and we're gonna rehab them and then sell them back to low-income individuals.
Wow.
And then we're gonna deed restrict them so that they can't sell them to investors for an extended period of time.
Interesting, oh wow.
Which, you know, fast forward to today, it turned out to be a great decision.
Yeah, yeah.
The neighborhood is thriving. The people that own those homes now have wealth that they're able to accumulate, whereas before they hadn't.
Right.
It's all because of a credit union. So
that's
one example.
And have that foresight?
Yeah.
I mean, how many years ago was this when they started doing that?
Yeah,
like, my 20 years ago or something?
My understanding was
10, 15?
Yeah, I can't remember the specific dates. I've got
you got all the numbers going. Yeah, I understand.
But I mean, you know, it was probably 20-something years ago.
Yeah.
And then we walked through a variety of other housing developments that they're in the process of that's either complete or just starting right now. They continue to have impact and really do punch above their weight and competing against commercial real estate providers. And it's a pretty interesting story. And that's just one institution here in Raleigh-Durham.
Yeah.
You got local government, you got state employees, you got coastal. and all of the affiliate organizations with them. So.
Well, and how the credit union brought in these other organizations, including the university here, to kind of help out with that project, right?
Yeah, it's a real partnership, which I think is an interesting lesson for credit unions across the country, is like find the partners that want to accomplish the same things as you. You know, they may not be able to couch it in the terms of, we need a credit union to help us with X, but you know that they want to help, they want to solve for X, and figuring out creative ways, either through your structure, your skill set, or your passion, to help solve for those.
And they could use self-help as a kind of a template of how to do it.
Yeah, you know? And we're going to get them on this. We got to interview them, because I think one of the things that people note about self-help when they hear about it is that I haven't heard much about them. You know, and
I haven't either.
They do tend to stand apart from the rest of the industry, just because their model is so unique. And but I think just the visit yesterday with some of their key staff illustrated that there's a real opportunity to share knowledge and help take that concept that they've done here locally, and now they're expanding out into California and Chicago and other localities. But then taking that model and applying it to your own realities, because they've done a lot of the hard work, so.
No doubt. Yeah. So what do you want folks to take away from this conference, other than...
Hats.
The hats. These are fantastic,
by the way. Oh, we got you socks, too.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I rarely wear socks.
You don't have to put them on right now.
Okay, good. Yeah. I rarely wear socks, but when I do, I wear Filene socks.
I was going to say, Mike, these are socks. These are what people wear outside of Southern California.
Wow.
Yeah, so...
Can I wear them with flip-flops?
You can do that. You can do that.
All right.
Socks and stocks is the new look.
All right.
Birkenstocks.
Really? I did not know that. Yeah. All right.
According to me.
According to George. The world according to George, ladies and gentlemen. Here it is. Well, thank you for the socks. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I'm going to wear them, definitely.
Yeah.
I'll probably wear them at GAC next year when it's cold.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. Yeah, in terms of like what we want people to leave with.
Besides socks and hats,
is thinking about all of the challenges that the people that they serve have. And you know, generally for most credit unions, it's consumers, but it could also be small businesses, it could be your community, it could be your local government, it could be a combination of a bunch of stakeholders, but really understanding what some of those emerging needs are. So just, that's the baseline. Like, if we can get people to kind of be aware of all of these emerging things, like one of my favorite talks here was the future of work. And just using Uber as a very vivid example of what the future of work may look like,
right?
And it could be dystopian, right? You know, like the speaker Alex talked about the notion of, you know, anytime someone logs into the Uber platform, they have to accept, you know, sometimes the terms of service change.
Yeah,
it's like this is the terms of service of your quote unquote employment. So if you look at it like that, it's like that sounds pretty bleak. And you know, what if my job is transformed in a similar way to taxi drivers?
Yeah.
So thinking in terms of that type of stuff.
Okay.
And then I think for the more action oriented people, which we hope is everyone, but you know, recognizing that everyone's going to do something, is providing opportunities and ideas for people to actually test out and in some cases implement to help change the lives of the people that they serve.
Yeah, and the thing that I think we've talked about this before. I think I said it last year, but the thing that I like about the timing of your conference is that it gives you a chance to reflect on 2019, but also gets you amped up for the next year, the following year, in 2020. And it looks like there's going to be some pretty exciting things coming down the turnpike, especially for you guys, because I had Taylor in here talking about your six new centers of excellence.
Yeah.
So, oh my gosh, you guys have quite a full plate.
Yeah, so around this time last year, we asked the industry what are the topics that are critical to the future, and landed on those, and Taylor talked about them.
Oh yeah.
You know, some of the ones that are gaining the most interest initially are diversity, equity, and inclusion. We've actually named the research fellow. She's a professor at Villanova University.
That's right. Yeah, he said.
Yeah. And then data and the future of financial services. We all have access to this amazing amount of data as financial institutions. What do we do with it?
Right.
How do we use it ethically? And then a variety of other topics.
You guys are headed for a big few years ahead of you. So
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, a lot of work.
Yeah,
a lot of work.
But it's a good thing.
It's a good thing.
Yeah, I like how you guys, and I heard it from a lot of people coming out of there, you really make us look at things differently.
Yeah.
So, and you do that consciously, obviously.
Yeah.
But it really, you see the people come out, like, I mean, they're almost like caught in the headlights type of look, but it's a good type of look, because they're thinking about it. And going to lunch yesterday, oh my gosh, the amount of people just talking about, I was kind of eavesdropping a little bit here and there, just talking about the morning's events and then what was going to happen in the afternoon.
Yeah.
It's really exciting to see.
Yeah, you know, we like to kind of take the typical conference model and flip it on its head. You know, we kind of usually go through exercises of saying, okay, we want to create this thing, so let's go to the extreme and like talk about what a conference should not be, and let's try and create something like that, and then we bring it towards reality. So that manifests in certain ways. Like, for example, this year our speakers were a sociologist from Princeton, no. a political scientist from State University of New York, a researcher from a think tank in New York City, an economist from the Federal Reserve, mm-hmm. and an anthropologist from UNC.
And he was super intriguing. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. And then just being able to take those viewpoints and saying, okay, you may not think that this may not have everything to do with you, mm-hmm. but like, let's take a step back and think about what it means to you, and then help you put it into practice.
And you did. You did. You kind of brought, you kind of made that connection there with credit unions and really make people like, oh, I can see that from a different viewpoint again. So really neat. Really neat how you guys do that type of stuff. So stoked to be here, sir.
It's good to be here, too.
Well done, man. Yeah. Well done. You guys knocked it out of the park
Hopefully
once again.
Hopefully you don't need to use the hat anytime.
I'm wearing it on the plane all the way home. Ears out, baby. Flaps up.
Ears out.
Ears out. Ears out. That's right. All right, George. Cool. Always a pleasure. Mike, thank you so much. You guys do such a great job. And anything we can do to help out, more than happy to.
Thanks, man.
All right. Yeah, it's good. There he is, George Hoffheimer.